So last night, Shannon tragically ripped the covers off me. But don't worry, I recovered.
Love it.
Oh, I love the groaning. Oh, man. I think the groaning is what makes my day. It brings me joy. It brings you all grief when I tell a dad joke, but it brings me joy. So, balance of life, right? All right, so I need some participation here as we begin this morning. We're continuing in our series of Life in the Balance, and today we're looking at the sovereignty of God and free will. So as I ask a question, I want you to kind of raise your hands if you think this, you will believe this. So who would say that God ordained you to be born at this place and time, this geographic location, and this period of history? How many of us would say, yeah? Wow, I have a lot of people not raising their hands. Are you just shy or, all right, so, all right. What's that? Oh, okay. Well, all right. So next one, who here would say God directed the color of your eyes, the color of your skin, what your temperament would be, what gifts, and what family you would be born into? How many of us would say that? Yeah? Okay. Who would say that before you were born, God predetermined if you would marry, and if so, who you would marry? How many of us would say that? All right. How many of you would say that God sovereignly decides the job you would have? What about the house you live in or what church you attend? How many of us listen? Okay. What about the shirt you're wearing this morning? How many of you would say God sovereignly? All right, I got one. All right, so as we talk this morning about the balance between God's sovereignty and our free will, this is something that Shannon and I have been talking about a lot this week, and lots of circumstances came up with sovereignty of God and his providence and our free will. So thank you for helping me with this. It's one thing to think about God's sovereignty when it comes to, you know, we can giggle about, like, the shirt that we're wearing, right? But it gets real when we ask some deeper questions. So we can laugh about, like, oh, yeah, the shoes I put on this morning, God picked those out. Now, I don't want to mock that because there have been times in my life where I've looked in my closet and I felt like the Lord said, wear that shirt. And so I would wear that shirt. But, like, it seems easy or light. But it can get deep real quick when we start asking questions like, does God cause natural disasters? Why didn't God step in such and such a situation? Why are there people starving around the world? Does God create sickness and disease? And why does it seem that he heals some people and doesn't heal others? His sovereignty. So for me, some of those questions began a little while back, but it hit me hard in 2020. When all my kids, my seven kiddos, are at home 24/7, and my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so I've been like, all right, God, you're going to touch and heal her in a miraculous way. I've seen you do this. I've prayed for people, and I've seen you move miraculously. And then he doesn't move miraculously. Is she healed? Yes. Did God play a role in that? Absolutely. Did he do it the way I wanted him to? Nope. There was a moment, end of December, early January of 2020, and Shannon had to stop getting her last two chemo treatments because she had pneumonia and pleurisy, and her body couldn't take any more treatment. And I remember I was ticked at the Lord because I was like, I've seen you. I've witnessed you. You've used my hands to pray for people. and I've seen it. Why aren't you healing my wife miraculously? And so I had to have moments with the Lord, and I just remember him whispering the one time in my ear, I was being quiet for 10 minutes, and he just said, I am trustworthy. I am trustworthy. But see, when we hear and witness situations that we don't think are okay, sometimes we begin to question God's sovereignty. So I recognize that God's sovereignty is real. It is. And so Scripture is very clear, so I just want to walk through a couple of passages that talk about God's sovereignty. The first one, I'm way behind. Emily, is Emily there? Can you do that, Kurt? I am terrible at this thing. Sorry. So I want to look at a couple of scriptures where we see God's sovereignty. The first one, Psalms 103:19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. That is the definition of sovereignty, God's rule. His rule over all. That is his sovereignty. Acts 17:26. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times, boundaries of their habitation. Again, a picture of God's sovereignty. Psalm 115:3, our God is in heaven. He does all he pleases. Sovereignty. Job 42:2, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Sovereignty. But what we do with the fact that Scripture also says that we have authority and we have choice. So, think about this for a minute. At the beginning of time, when God created Adam, right at the beginning, in Genesis 1, he says this to Adam. He says, fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals in the ground. And then he also tasked Adam immediately with choosing the names of all the animals. God invited Adam into his creative process and said, you are going to name animals. So there's something with choice. So there is a balance. There's authority that we have that God has given us right from the beginning. I think about Joshua in the end of Joshua's life. He's talking with the Israelites, and he's like, all right, guys, remember what God has done. He's reminding them of what God has seen and what he's walked through. And then at the end, we have, you know, one of his most famous verses in Joshua, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua's making a choice there. He's talking to the Israelites, and he's saying, you know, you can serve this God, you can serve that God, but I'm going to serve the Lord. My house is going to serve the Lord. Again, we see that we have choice. We have choice to serve the Lord. We also are told in Luke 20:42, the story of Mary and Martha, that Mary, having sat down at the feet of Jesus, had chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. So what do we do when we see that we see that God is sovereign, but he's also given us free will? How do we live in that balance? To what degree do these points seem to interact? Now, this has been an ongoing debate pretty much since the beginning of the church. And so on one side, you have hyper-Calvinism, which is where they believe that God ordains and controls every aspect of everything. So that's one area of like our weighted scale. And then the other weighted scale on the other side is Pelagianism, which basically says that original sin, so that's what happened in the garden, right? You had Adam and Eve choose to eat the fruit of the tree that they were not supposed to, that original sin doesn't affect us. and that we can will ourselves to be sinless or perfect, meaning that we don't need God at all to become sinless and perfect. So one side, you have complete and utter control by God in everything that we do, and the other side, we don't need God at all. So most of us in here, I would venture to say everyone, we fall in the middle somewhere. We fall in the middle of that pendulum. We believe that God is all-powerful and he can do whatever he wants, but we also believe that we have a free will and we make choices. There's just a lot of variables on that scale, isn't there? At what point do our choices become ours and not something predetermined by God? At what point do our choices not just impact our lives, but our choices impact our community, our choices impact our planet, our choices impact future generations? At what point? Is God so in control, and I'm not saying that to mock God, I'm just saying like in control, that what we do doesn't even matter? Or do we have such authority that our choices have so much severe repercussion that God has to keep his hands off? You see, when we think about the 2 degrees and then we think about some of these questions, we actually have to wrestle with how much is God sovereign in this moment and how much is my free will in this moment? It's a wrestling. How many of us, when faced with something that feels out of control, we just need, how many of us, when there's a situation that seems out of control, have we said or had someone say to us, oh, just trust God? I mean, like, just let God, right? Like, most of us in here have probably either said that or done that. And that's true. Like, we need to trust God. That's absolutely true in every way. Why? Because he's good. He says in Romans 8, he's working things out for the good. Like, we trust him because he's a good father. But that's not just it. It's not just trust God and let him be hands off. He actually has a role for us to play. And so there are two responses in thinking about this scale between hyper-Calvinism and Pelagianism. And I believe it is this, that God's sovereignty leads us to trust. His goodness, his grace, his mercy, his son Jesus, the power of his spirit leads us to trust him. And our free will leads us to try. Now there's 2 T's there because, you know, growing up a little and working in Southern Baptist Church, you got to have your T's line up, your dots, you know, whatever. But our free will leads us to try. Like if God ordained for us at the beginning to give us authority in the garden, to have choice and to have authority, it means that he wants us to participate with what he is doing now here on earth. It means we both have the opportunity to trust him in a situation, but also try. Like work towards it. Work towards being with him. So what is trust? We have to trust that God is good. There's a verse that I often pray when my kids are sleeping or just not awake or just not around, but I pray this, and it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 over my kids. What is it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Like, this is what I want for my kids. And I believe, like, when that's being written, like, that's God's view, too. Like, he wants that for us. Like, trust me, guys. Trust me. I want to direct your path. I want to lead you. This is trust. Like, we want and desire, or the Lord wants and desires for us to trust him. And yet, he's clearly given us a role to play and his kingdom here on earth. There's clearly a role that we get to play. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 talk about gifts that we are given to build up the body of Christ. Galatians 6 tells us to carry one another's burdens. Guess what? You can't carry burdens if you're by yourself and you aren't in relationship with somebody. So he's talking to the church, like, you get to participate with someone else, right? Carrying one another's burdens. Philippians 2 says that we're to work out our salvation. Colossians 3 reminds us that we're to work heartily for the Lord and not for man. So it's not just let go and let God. I know you've probably heard that before. It's like, just let go and let God. Well, yeah, to some degree. But when God's also asked us and given us authority, that means he wants a relationship with us, and he wants us to walk his way, not our way. He wants us to actually trust him and then walk in the direction that he's asking us to walk in. So if you are having difficulty with one of your kiddos, for instance, you need to trust that God's going to work in their life, right? Can I get some nods or some amens, right? We need to trust that God's going to work in their life. But we also need to pray. We need to pray and to intercede, because we're in a place where I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I need you to intervene. We participate with God in what he's doing in our kids. Sometimes we might need to ask other parents, hey, you know, you've had a similar situation. Can I have some wisdom here? Like, we're working with God as he's working on our kiddos. Or in your marriage, you're having a difficult time with your spouse, which, I mean, most of us in here, except for me, your spouse is a little, at times, right? You're just a little like, oh boy. Are we trusting that God's working in our marriages? Yeah. But does it mean that we don't do the hard work in our marriages? Does it mean that we don't look at the wounds that we have? Does it mean that we don't try to figure out why did I respond that way without even knowing I responded that way? Because we're bringing stuff into our marriage? No, it's not just like, God, change her. It's, God, what is going on inside of me that made me react to my spouse that way? Made me try to control or whatever it looked like. Like, what? We have an opportunity to trust God, but also have the opportunity to do hard work to change us. Your spouse isn't the problem in your marriage. If you're single, whether you're dating, not dating, whether you've lost a spouse, do you trust that God has plans for your future? Yeah, you want to. You want to trust that God has plans for your future. But in the meantime, are you doing what Paul says to do in 1 Corinthians 7, where he's addressing those that aren't married, and he just says, devote to the Lord. Devote yourself to the Lord in body and in spirit. Are we devoting ourselves to the Lord in body and in spirit? So whatever situation you're in right now, please keep trusting him. Please. But also keep trying. Keep praying. Keep interceding. Keep doing the hard work in our own life to be healed. It's a bit of a mystery how God's sovereignty and our free will work together. And I don't know that we'll actually know that until we're someday with him in the new heaven and earth, right? Like, I don't know all the ins and outs of every situation. I do know sometimes when I'm standing in my closet, I feel like he says, wear that shirt. And I do know that even when I'm angry at him and I'm frustrated, he heals. So keep trusting and keep trying. He has given us authority, and we have the opportunity to trust him and obey him and to walk with him. So I'd ask the worship team to come back up. I want to finish with a story. So a number of years ago, 10-ish, something like that, a couple of the elders at North Point, we began regularly praying for people, just doing what James 5 says, come to the elders, confess sins, pray, and we saw God begin to move miraculously, begin to heal people. And I was on a high for a number of years, like a number of years. Like everyone that we were praying for that had cancer, God has sustained their life. It was like a ridiculous run. I don't know what, like it was amazing to see what God was doing. And I can't remember the exact year, but one of my friends, Steve, he gets cancer. He gets stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And Steve had started a rekindled relationship with Randy, the lead pastor, and Steve and I just hit it off. We rode motorcycles together, hung out, just talked. He liked to argue with me because he didn't believe in Jesus. But we would go and we would pray over Steve, and one day, Shannon's there with me, and she's like, Steve, what's holding you back? Jesus is the Messiah. Steve was historically Jewish. And Steve's like, nothing. And like in that moment, he chose Jesus, right? And so God led him to himself, and it's beautiful. And later that summer, I'm teaching at a camp, and I get a phone call from Steve, and it's right before I go on teaching, and he said, hey, the doctors just cleared me. I don't have pancreatic cancer anymore. And I was like, hallelujah. And, you know, I'm telling the kids at camp, I was really excited. Like, God is a God who moves in miracles. And then spring of the following year, cancer comes back. It's a little different cancer. It's the same area. And he passes away. And so I'm in this point of tension because I had seen him heal Steve, like literally heal him, and then he dies, like literally a year later. And I'm like, what is this? Like, how can I balance this out in my brain? It's not working, God. Like, your sovereignty, you should have stepped in. And I just remember him saying to me, when I was probably yelling at him at this point. I can be pretty yelly at times with the Lord. He's good with it. He understands I'm emotional. And I was like, why? First of all, I felt like he was like, that's the wrong question. I'm like, fine. But I'm like, what do I do here? What do I do when I see somebody I really love and care for that I'm praying for that's being not healed, and yet I've seen people who I barely know have compassion for and they're healed? Like, how do I do that within here? And he just said to me in that moment, he goes, will you stop praying? I was like, oh boy. Like, no, I won't stop praying. So the Lord was working on my life in that moment. Like, calling me out is like, will you only pray if you get what you want, Brandon? And so this is the part where we have the opportunity to be molded like Christ, to both trust him, but also work out this life. And to pray and to intercede and to see God move in miraculous ways. So our last song that we're going to sing, oh, I want to read this scripture. This is God is so beautiful. He's amazing. If imperfect parents, Luke 11:13, know how to lovingly care for their children and give them what they need, how much more will the perfect Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit fullness when we ask him? Like, God is so good that we are not doing this alone. Like, the trying part, like, you know, we're trying, but it's actually the Holy Spirit moving in us to actually stand and keep going in a situation. It's actually his work, which is beautiful. So not only do we get to trust, but we get to try with the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. So in moments like this, we need to ask for more of the Spirit. And then this last song we're going to sing is Yes, I Will. It proclaims who God is. And it proclaims the response in which we should have, which is worshiping and praising him, praising Jesus. So I'd like us to stand and worship together through song. And Father, we just bless you. We proclaim in this moment, like, yes, I will because of you. Yes, you will. Yes, you will move even when we're broken. Yes, you will take care of us when we can't see. Yes, you will heal in ways that we don't want, maybe, or it's not our preferred way, but you move. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and that you would help us to walk in a way that brings you honor and glory, that it gives us this capacity to love you more and to be more molded like your son, Jesus Christ. We want to be more like Christ, and we can't do that without the power of your Holy Spirit. So we worship you and we proclaim you. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us. May we both trust you and may we obey you. In Jesus' name.